Good evening. Two shot dead by an alleged vigilante in Kenosha during protests after the shooting of Jacob Blake. The Republicans day two. First Lady Melania steals the show. A purge at Voice of America. What's the tie into China? And QAnon, the shadowy conspiracy unmasked. I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI News for Wednesday, August 26, 2020. Milwaukee Bucks have decided to boycott Game 5 on a series of games that were playing on Wednesday against the Orlando Magic to protest the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Blake, who is black, was shot seven times by police on Sunday. A family attorney said Tuesday that Blake is paralyzed and it would take a miracle for him to walk again. In fast-breaking sports news, three more NBA basketball games set for today have also been postponed. Yesterday, Los Angeles Lakers star LeBron James spoke out after another night of protests and violence in Kenosha. He tweeted today, "F this man, we demand change, sick of it." Meanwhile, a white 17-year-old was arrested today after two people were shot to death during a third straight night of protests in Kenosha. At least one other person was seriously wounded. The incident was caught on video. The following is disturbing.
Oh, shit. He shot that guy in the stomach. Oh, shit. Shit, people are getting shot all around us. People are just getting shot everywhere, guys.
The suspect in the shooting is Kyle Rittenhouse of Antioch, Illinois, about 15 miles from Kenosha. The Justice Department said it's sending in the FBI and federal marshals in response to the unrest. The White House said it was sending up to 2,000 National Guard troops. The dead were identified only as a 26-year-old and a 36-year-old. The wounded person, who was also 36, was expected to survive. According to witness accounts and video footage, police apparently let the gunman walk past them and leave the scene with a rifle over his shoulder and his hands in the air as members of the crowd were yelling for him to be arrested because he had shot people. Much of Rittenhouse's Facebook page is devoted to praising law enforcement with references to Blue Lives Matter, a movement that supports police. He also can be seen holding an assault rifle. In Wisconsin, it's legal for people 18 and over to openly carry a gun with no license required. The attorney for Jacob Blake's family is Patrick Salvi Jr. He says local police had not met with the family and that Blake was unarmed with three children in the car.
I know that he was shot at least seven times. It actually may have been eight. He was in surgery pretty much all day yesterday at the time of our press conference at around 3 o'clock central. We announced that he was in surgery and I was getting updates even after midnight. So he did come out of surgery. He had to have additional hardware placed in his spine and the extent of his spinal cord injury is still somewhat unknown. But when you hear that a bullet has shredded through at least a portion of his spinal cord, you are likely to have severe permanent injury. So he's likely to have at least partial, if not complete, paralysis below the level of that spinal cord injury. But miraculously, given the point-blank range from which those shots were fired, it does appear he's going to survive. His three children were in the car. That was on the forefront of his mind. That is the most important thing to him in his life is his family and his children. The three boys he had in the car, 8, 5, and 3 years old, to even imagine that Jacob was on his way to start an altercation with the police and that that's what he was doing with his three little boys in the car as they were celebrating the 8-year-old Israel's birthday. That's just not the facts.
The attorney for Jacob Blake's family is Patrick Salvi Jr., who represents the family of Jacob Blake. This afternoon, President Trump tweeted, "Today I will be sending federal law enforcement and the National Guard to Kenosha, Wisconsin to restore law and order." Also tweeting, "We will not stand for looting, arson, violence, and lawlessness on American streets." Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden posted a video saying he had spoken with Blake's parents and other family members. "What I saw in that video makes me sick," Biden said. "Once again, a black man, Jacob Blake, has been shot by the police in broad daylight while the whole world was watching." In Washington, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had this to say.
"President Biden and Vice President Harris will be leaders who will calm the waters. What we saw in Kenosha, it breaks your heart. It does pierce the soul, as was said. But the encouragement that the president, the acquiescence, if not more than that, that he gives to vigilantes coming in to make matters worse in these situations is something that the president should be quelling rather than encouraging. I do think that it was beautiful to hear Mrs. Blake speak, the mom. She said, this isn't what we're about. We're not about riots and destroying a property and the rest. That's not the statement that we want associated with this.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The Republican National Convention is meeting again tonight. The top bill is supposed to go to Vice President Mike Pence, who's expected to deliver some more upbeat news than most of the rest of the convention that's been reveling in the idea that America is facing a dark cloud of radical internal dissent. Last night, President Trump used the White House as a backdrop for a citizenship ceremony by Department of Homeland Security Acting Secretary Chad Wolf.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Congratulations, you're now citizens of the United States of America. On behalf of the Department of Homeland Security, it is my honor to call you my fellow Americans. Mr. President, I want to again commend you for your dedication to the rule of law.
Congratulations, that's fantastic. It's really great, thank you. And I want to thank Acting Secretary Wolf, doing a phenomenal job in so many ways. You've earned the most prized, treasured, cherished, and priceless possession anywhere in the world. It's called American citizenship. There is no higher honor and no greater privilege, and it's an honor for me to be your president.
It was the first time in memory a sitting president had used the White House itself as a campaign theme. First Lady Melania Trump got some shade for her renovation of Jackie Kennedy Onassis's Rose Garden, but her speech was one of the only ones to offer much empathy.
So while at times we only see the worst of people and politics on the evening news, let's remember how we come together in the most difficult times. And while debate rages on about issues of race, let's focus on the strides we have made and work together for a better tomorrow for everyone. Our administration has also devoted historic resources and produced life-saving results by raising awareness around opioid addiction and drug abuse, especially for children.
First Lady Melania Trump. Tonight, besides the Vice President, the Second Lady, Karen Pence, and Kellyanne Conway are featured speakers. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. On Monday, Jerry Falwell Jr., one of the country's most prominent evangelicals and an ardent supporter of President Donald Trump, resigned as president of Liberty University after a series of scandals. Falwell's resignation followed accusations by a former Miami hotel pool attendant, Giancarlo Granda, who said he had intimate relations with Falwell's wife Becky for years while Falwell looked on. And the president's former fixer, Michael Cohen, has chimed in that he helped Deep Six embarrassing photos of the sexual twists involving Falwell. Among the baggage of supporters of the Trump reelection bid is a shadowy cult group, also with vaguely religious and apocalyptic views, called QAnon. Q says Trump is involved in a life and death battle against a ring of cannibals and pedophiles. The theory would seem ridiculous, but it's been followed by many, many hundreds of thousands of Americans in one form or another. Several QAnon candidates have won primaries, and President Trump demurred from criticizing the group a few days ago because he says they like him. A journalist with Electronic Intifada who's been studying QAnon is Michael Brown.
On a day like today with Jerry Falwell in the news with his own views on Israel, which are very similar to those of people such as Laura Loomer and Marjorie Taylor Greene, with full support for Trump on all the policies that he's been carrying out against the Palestinians. And then you look back at his father, of course, Jerry Falwell Sr., who held quite clearly anti-Semitic views about Jews. I was looking at it yesterday where he was saying that it was clear that the Antichrist was a male Jew, and the apple didn't fall far from the tree with Falwell Jr. It is something that I think is oftentimes found in people with these conservative evangelical views, but I wouldn't want to make it an across-the-board statement that some of them, I'm quite sure, are appalled by what they're seeing with QAnon and would say they very much disagree with that sort of outlook on life.
What faction of American polity does QAnon represent?
It's been very conservative politicians. There's Lauren Boebert out in Colorado who has just won her primary. There's, as I mentioned, Marjorie Taylor Greene. There's also Joe Ray Perkins, who's out in Oregon and seems likely to lose, unlike Marjorie Taylor Greene, who seems quite certain to win an extremely conservative district in northwestern Georgia. One of the things that I think alarmed so many people looking at QAnon is how it's slowly trickled into American consciousness, and now you see it being discussed quite a bit on the cable news networks as a conspiracy theory that is increasingly affecting the views of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Americans. And Trump has gone on TV and said, look, these people like me, and not expressed his concerns about where they're coming from. And I think when you have a political leadership that embraces the sort of conspiracy theories that we're seeing floating around now, it's a dangerous time to be in when people accept these sorts of viewpoints as truth.
To be unassailable by right-wing politicians who aren't interested in arguing the facts with people. They just want to win their side.
You set up all evil to be on the other side, and that's the sort of fear and loathing that he is embracing. For November, it puts the country in a place that we don't want to be with these sorts of people such as Green. She's a gun fanatic. She's run around with her AR-15 in advertisements, taking on socialism and taking on undocumented migrant workers, where she's firing away her gun, which is suggestive of violence against those people. And I think an increasing number of Americans worry about what we will be facing in November with a very close election, what I would quite frankly say are unhinged viewpoints.
Michael Brown is a journalist with Electronic Intifada. And the Lebanese government extended a state of emergency in the troubled country. The extension comes after the Israeli military said it exchanged fire with Hezbollah fighters along the Lebanese border late Tuesday, a flare-up of recent tensions that led authorities to temporarily close roads and order residents of nearby communities to stay in their homes. We go to Rania Mizari, who lives in Beirut and has this report.
Today, our parliament extended the state of emergency in Beirut until December. Until the end of December, we now have the military having extensive powers over Beirut, which extends not only to increased civil rights repressions, but also extends to the way the military then will be handling the impact of the explosion as well as the increasing COVID-19 infections. And all of this is on top of the bankruptcy, on top of the massive increase in products and in prices in Lebanon, and at the same time, the massive increase in shortages of necessary material in Lebanon.
State of emergency. Tell us the background on that.
This is because of the increased COVID-19 infections, and therefore they want the military to be present to increase adherence to potential lockdowns. But in reality, this is because of the increased political mistrust. It's because of the increased outrage amongst populists against the government and against the parliament. So the state of emergency grants the military extensive powers to investigate, to arrest civilians and hold them under military trial, and also to prohibit gatherings as the military sees fit. Currently, we are under lockdown because of COVID-19, because we have approximately 500 to 600 new infections every day. The explosion already destroyed 4 hospitals, and all our public hospitals are currently at maximum capacity because of COVID-19. So we do not have protest right now because we as a populace are also extremely worried about, you know, how could we get health care if any of us get sick, given that our hospitals are at maximum capacity and given that more than half the country lacks any kind of health care coverage. There was a protest, a very significant one, the Saturday after the Tuesday explosion. And it was greeted with a very high degree of violence from the state authorities, where they actually used something called pellet guns, pellet bullets, where these bullets actually were shot at by protesters, and the bullets managed to spread like pellets into people's skin and caused a lot of damage. So we are expecting that the next time a protest would be called, and of course we are going to continue to protest, that the violence against us by the state will continue to increase.
How can people help?
The first demand would be for the Trump administration to lift the sanctions on Lebanon, because regardless what we may think of our politicians and regardless of their culpability in this crime, sanctions that are imposed against Lebanon have ramifications on the economy as a whole and would be detrimental. That would be the first response for Americans to participate in the lifting of sanctions on Lebanon as well as on Syria, since we are also impacted by the U.S. CSAR Act on Syria. Right. Beyond that, what I would ask from Americans is to recognize that it is the sectarian political system in Lebanon that has resulted in both the economic bankruptcy and the level of incompetence that has resulted in the port explosion on August 4th. And yet it is this sectarian political system that the U.S. administrations, Democrat and Republican, have continued to build up and to maintain and to use as a model for other countries in the region.
Internet controls. Has there been any uptick in how the Lebanese government is controlling communications between people and between outside the country over the internet?
The Lebanese government really doesn't have that much of an internet capabilities, but to control, to my knowledge. However, our telecommunications in Lebanon have already been violated by Israel. So we know that our main two telephone lines, we've got two main systems that provide telecommunications in Lebanon. We know for a number of years that these have been infiltrated by the Israeli Mossad. We are not so much worried about the Lebanese government infiltrating our telecommunications. More so, we are worried about the Israeli enemy infiltrating our telecommunications. However, the Lebanese government, of course, continues to monitor statements on Facebook and social media and continues to impose civil rights infringements against individuals that speak in a manner that they find to be reprehensible.
Rania Mazzari is a spokesperson for a political organization inside of Lebanon. She reports from Beirut. Caretaker Prime Minister Hassan Diab said on Wednesday that Lebanon was at risk of losing control over the coronavirus outbreak. Cases doubled in the 2 weeks following the blast in early August as infections spread in hospitals where victims were being treated. The number of cases is increasing greatly, according to medics, and if this continues, we will lose control of the epidemic. And that's some of the news for Wednesday, August 26, 2020. The news was engineered by Reggie Johnson. From New York City, I'm Paul DiRienzo for the WBAI News. Thanks for listening.